In the Gospel of Luke this morning, we hear Jesus' parable of the rich man and Lazarus, a parable that we've heard many times before. And Jesus, the purpose of this parable is not just to raise awareness of the poor, but rather is to remind us of that spiritual principle that the life that is well lived is a life that is lived for God, in which we serve God, we love God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and that we serve our neighbor, that we love them as we love the Lord, or as we love ourselves. The challenge of the parable is to move from a life of selfishness to a life of selflessness. As the Lord invites us to become saints, that is his call. And the whole course of the Christian life, the whole journey of our discipleship, is to constantly ask the Lord's help to overcome our selfishness and to live more for the Lord and for our neighbor. And so you take apart the parable and you see this rich man who dines sumptuously, who's dressed in royal garments. And really his life is consumed about himself, right? That there is really nothing outside the purview of his sight except his own existence. God does not condemn the rich man because of his wealth, but because he is consumed by himself. That's what lands him in hell. That, again, he doesn't even recognize that what he has, his wealth, his riches, are God's gift. He doesn't even praise God for the gift of what has been given to him, recognizing that it is truly the work of God, not his own ability. And then you have the poor man, Lazarus. And again, as the parable unfolds, you see the root of the selfishness of the rich man in relation to Lazarus. So the rich man from the netherworld, where he's in torment, calls out to Abraham and says, Abraham, tell Lazarus, I'm suffering. Tell Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the water and to cool my tongue, because I am in torment. Again, the whole question, the whole attitude of the rich man is self-referential. He will use Lazarus for his own end, for his own purpose, but so too he will use God. And then the parable continues, and then he says, well, Abraham replies, you can't. There's a great chasm that exists between you and whoever is here, so there is no way for us to send Lazarus to you. But he says, well, send him to my family, because I have five brothers. They have the same kind of wealth. We don't want him to end up here. But again, at the heart of his request is selfish interest, right? It's not for the sake of the salvation of his brothers, for their conversion, that they would turn to God, but rather, we don't want them to suffer this torment. That the rich man doesn't even realize that God deserves to be loved because he is God, for his own sake, for his own purpose, because he is the Lord. But rather, the rich man loves him or asks of him something because of what he can do. And then towards the end, again, asking that Lazarus be sent, you know, that, and Abraham replies that they're so complacent, your brothers would be so complacent that something even miraculous would not stir them to that conversion of heart. So that's the essence of the parable that Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees, a reflection of what is spoken of in the first reading from the prophet Amos, that Amos speaks God's word to the complacent of society who no longer recognize that God must have first place, that their neighbor must have first place, that they're not even moved by the collapse of the poor or their own moral collapse within their own hearts. that indeed the challenge of the gospel is that conversion of heart where we move from self-love to a deeper love of God, to a deeper love of our neighbor. That self-love or selfishness only ends in being alone, which is what hell is. But love of God, love of neighbor, indeed results in life. That's what brings us to life, right? So the whole challenge, again, that the Lord invites us to embrace every day is to ask him for the grace, Lord, help me to see where I become complacent in my life, in my relationship with you, in my relationship with my brothers and sisters. Where do I need to grow in my love of you, O God? And where do I need to grow in my love of my neighbor? That my life is not just about me, but that it is indeed, O Lord, about you. That you must take center place time and again. The key to the gospel and the parable is the verse of the Alleluia with which we greeted the gospel when the Alleluia was sung. That verse that though he was in the form of God, Jesus did not deem equality with God something to be grasped as. It comes from an ancient Christian liturgical hymn that would have been sung in the early church. And it's from St. Paul's letter to the Philippians. It's a very beautiful passage, probably one of my favorite passages of the scriptures. But if you have a chance, go back, read the whole hymn. It's from chapter 2, Philippians, verses 6 through 11. But it speaks about that mystery that God did not hold on to his wealth, his divinity, but set that aside, became man, took on the poverty of our humanity. We who were Lazarus, we who were poor because of Adam's sin, we who had no life, no access to heaven, God comes down, lays aside his wealth of divinity, assumes our humanity, takes on the punishment due to our sin, and reconciles us back to the Father. That's what the ultimate meaning of the parable is, that indeed God always is other. He lives for us. He lives for his Son, and the Son lives for his Father. So too, the Lord invites us day in and day out to pray, Lord, help me to grow in that selflessness, that self-giving, that giving away that you reveal in your passion, in your death, in your dying for me, so that I may grow in my love for you. That each of us will come to recognize the work that the Lord still has to do in us. It's not so much that, you know, it's about necessarily the materially poor, but again, what are those areas in my life that are poor, that are where God is not the focus, where my neighbor is not the focus, and to put them back into focus, to make them back the priority. We gather for the Eucharist, where Christ renews his sacrifice, where Christ renews that self-emptying on the cross, and he invites us to imitate the gift that is given to us, the gift that we receive. May we ask him, Lord, help me to live that gift of self-sacrifice so that I may love you more fully and love my neighbor.